Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night call on Blog Talk Radio. Jesse, I'm going to throw it to you to do a disclaimer.
Guys, tonight, the subject matter of our call is always legal information, and we have a lot of fun discussing it. We do this on a time basis, a weekly basis for you guys, and take our time to answer all these calls or all these questions for you guys. But again, nothing that we discuss on this call should be taken as legal advice, because it's not meant to be legal advice, and it shouldn't be taken that way. We urge you guys, if you want legal advice, please seek out an attorney. Go study. Go do whatever you want. We're not attorneys. We don't proclaim to be attorneys. So again, for those of you that are looking for legal advice, this is not the place to be. If you guys want to share experiences and discuss legal situations or legal information that is out there for all of us and have fun doing so, then welcome aboard.
Good evening, everybody. This is the pickup on the Tuesday night call. We had started on Blog Talk, and there was a technical issue. We have moved over, and sorry to have everybody interrupted, but we are on Terry's call, and we will resume and continue this call here. All right. Well, we're getting her put back together, everybody. You know, it's no fun when you have a little technical issue, and that does happen. If this is the worst that we have, we're going to be in great shape. So we'll get Jesse back here in a moment. But if anybody has got their questions, we're going to move forward from good news stuff. If anybody's got good news, they can bring that in when they raise their hand. But hitting one. Just one on your keypad of your phone will raise your hand so that Jeff can pick you up on the board and unmute you. So
it looks like Maximo's got his hand raised.
Okay, well,
he's unmuted.
Let's go ahead. Hello, Maximo.
Hello.
Area code 951.
There you go.
Yes, hi. I have some really good news and not so good news. Is Jesse on? I want him to hear it as well.
He'll be back in a moment. Yeah, he's in the process of letting Larry know, because we had to migrate over here. And I don't know if Larry had that number or not. He should have. If he didn't have it, well, he'll have it in a moment, because Jesse will be giving it to him. So. Yeah, I know you got some news. You and I had a conversation shortly before the call here tonight. And what's this in relation to? Mr. Maximo, talk
I
to
think
us.
We lost him.
Did you lose him?
Yeah, he's off the board.
Okay, well, he must have had a problem with his cell phone. I'm sure he'll be calling back, because I think...
He might be riding the rails tonight.
I don't know. He when I talked to him earlier, I heard the dinging of a door in the car.
He's back.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. All right. No, so you're having tonight technical difficulties as well.
Right.
So see, it's catching. It's almost like a cold.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah. Jesse, did you make it back with us yet?
Larry's
trying
to call right now.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Here.
All right. Well, Maximo's got something he wanted you to hear.
Okay, go on.
Hey, Jesse and family. The really good news is that I got I received my judgment, and the judgment was for over 40.
Over 40,000.
Oh, my God. God bless you, brother. That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a good thing. More than a little bit. That's a true blessing.
Yeah, you have to put that up on our forum, man. That's awesome. Go ahead and redact it and put it on the forum. That's awesome. Good news. Fantastic.
Definitely. Now the thing is collecting, and the not-so-good part of it is that I submitted a final judgment, and they terminated the case. I was premature.
Okay, you lost me there.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay. Well, in December, when they gave, when they said that the judgment was granted, they didn't have a specific amount in there in which it was granted. And so what on, under the order of granting me the default judgment, under there they said must put in proposed judgment.
Correct.
So I take that as putting in a proposed judgment as the amount. And it may have been the wording I put in the, I put in final and final order and judgment. And so when I put that particular judgment in, at the bottom of the thing it says case terminated.
Well, once judgment is entered, the case will be terminated.
Right.
Right.
Oh.
No, you didn't screw up.
No, you're fine.
Talk to your clerk if you're not sure.
Talk to your clerk.
Absolutely. Talk to your clerk if you're not sure.
So you answered my question. That was a default judgment because they just didn't answer?
Correct.
Oh, wow, that's sweet for that amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish the three-headed beast would have done that with me.
That would have been more than satisfying.
Oh, nobody
yes, really.
Ever does that with me. They just want to fight me.
Yeah, this
well,
is so
I think, hey, Maximo, I think that fits into the good news category, doesn't it?
Yeah, but confusing.
40,000 plus dollar judgment,
judgment. So now, Maximo, it goes from what you said first, some really good news and some not so really good news. Now it's all really good news.
Right, but I'm still confused. I don't know what I need to do.
Call your clerk. Call your clerk, verify, and then file for execution.
Why, Maximo, real quick, Jesse again. Listen, why are you confused? I don't understand what your confusion is.
The confusion is that when they, you said judgment is final, and they put on their terminated the case. Does that mean I may have been premature in putting that final judgment before receiving the money?
No.
That means the judgment is final.
Yeah, it's final. It's done.
That means they don't get to argue anymore. They get to pay.
Well, they can argue. That's what I was going to tell you.
Well, they could appeal. Or they could object.
No, there's nothing to appeal. There's nothing to appeal, Terry. Let me answer
Well,
the
that's
question.
True because they didn't answer.
That's right. Let me answer the question. What's going to happen is they're going to come in and tell the judge every excuse possible, everything under the sun as to why they didn't respond, that they should be entitled now to respond. So what I would do if I were you is I'd get my judgment amount. If you got it from the judge and it's all final, I'd sit on it for a little bit. I wouldn't try to do much. Give it another 15, 20, 30 days. And then put in your writ and then call them and say, listen, I have this here, and you know my last famous words is, how do you want to handle it? At that point, it's seasoned. It's been in there for a little bit, and they're going to have to come up with some really, really convincing lies, which they're all going to be lies, which is extraordinarily convincing lies, as to why they should be allowed to respond. I'm facing the same exact situation right now with the guys up north. The heck is the name of them damn people up there? Anyway, it's been since November since I've had the judgment. We're waiting for attorney's fees on that. Once that's added, then we'll go ahead. But I am very fully prepared for them to come back and say, listen, we'll give you half that much. Just just to go away, because they're going to have a litigation cost anyway. But just be prepared for that, because that's coming.
Okay. So when they say terminated the case, that doesn't mean anything?
No.
They just it just means they closed it, that's all.
Yeah. Case closed. You're done.
Okay. So I would not have to write the court anymore for any other direction. Just
unless
let
you
it
want to, just to make you feel comfortable. Okay? That's the only reason. If you have a judgment already, you need to file for your writ.
After you let it sit
done,
for a little bit.
Yeah, let it season.
Yeah, let it season.
Okay, yeah, at least 30 days.
I would. So that way they got no time. Go ahead, Maximo.
I was going to say, it says on there which execution issue.
Oh, well, then if it's signed, you're good. You're golden. You don't need to worry about anything. Go ahead and let it season. I'd let it sit for about 30 days. And then I would call them and just ask them, you know, hey, how do you want to handle it?
All right.
That's exactly how I plan on doing mine, and I fully expect them. Mine's going to be over $30,000, and they're going to come back and probably say, listen, we'll give you $15,000 to go away. And I'm going to say, no, I'll start selling your computers next week, so I'll be at your office to vacate it. I want my 30 or your. I'm going to empty out everything you own over there. So, you know, I'm not going to give him any slack, but mine's been around since November, so I can more or less do that. And I've got two affidavits from the sheriff's office that served them, so there's no way around it. They got it. They had some internal screw-up. It's not my problem.
Correct. And what was that you said about an affidavit?
I got affidavits. Oh, I'm just saying they're going to come back and say I wasn't served or, you know, the dumb blonde up front didn't get it or give it to us or didn't follow protocol or, you know, they're going to come up with a million and one excuses as to why they should be allowed now to respond and the default should be set aside. And what I did is I got affidavits from the sheriff, the deputy who actually served him, that he followed the Pennsylvania state code and he does this all the time and that he serves them in particularly all the time to the same cow up front. So there's no way that they're going to get out of it.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're in California, so did you serve them in California somewhere, I'm assuming?
Yes. They are also, the company's in California.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know the California, anybody can serve them in California. Just get the affidavit, you know, service from them, from whoever. I'm sure you got that, right?
Yes, and it was actually, the declaration was already submitted to the court.
Fantastic. So you're good to go. Just let it season up.
Yes.
And congratulations.
Right.
Yeah, congratulations, man. I'm going to mute. Redact it and put it on the forum. I want to see it tomorrow. That's awesome, dude.
Mr. Impatience himself.
Really? You tell him,
yeah,
give me the keys now. You
Facebook.
Want it right now.
Wait a minute. You were both talking. I didn't hear what either one said.
Go ahead, Terry.
I just said he tells you to season out, and he wants it right now.
Yeah.
Right. But the order is on the pacer right now.
Yep.
That's awesome, man. Good job, buddy.
Yep. That's a good deal. All righty.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Another big chunk, everybody. Don't say that you can't get some money rolling in from this stuff.
That's a nice sizable chunk.
Yeah, you get a $40,000-plus judgment against somebody because they're dumb enough to not even show up in court and answer a suit. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I should be so lucky. Okay, Jeff, who we got next on the board? Anybody that has a question or good news, we can sprinkle them together because of our kind of change in starting tonight. So press 1 on the keypad. Just the number 1 on a keypad will put you in the queue, and Jeff can unmute you. So who's next?
I'm not seeing anyone.
Oh, well. Okay, everybody. If you've got questions, those people that are with us, go ahead and just hit 1 on the keypad on your phone, and that'll put you in the queue to ask your questions. I know we still may have had some people that may not have migrated over yet as a result of the changeover from Blog Talk.
Well, I see a lot of people that are from the usual Wednesday night crowd, and for you guys, this is not like a normal Wednesday night. You need to hit 1 in order to get called on. If you have
right, because everybody is muted. It was a little different tonight because of that. It's not just a speak up like it normally is on Wednesday night with Terry. But one of the things that I'm going to mention this for a moment here while we're waiting for some more people to come in here. One of the major finds that we've got, and this is actually came directly from John. He was the one that mentioned it to me. He had found O'Connor's Federal Rules Civil Trials, which is a resource that the attorneys use, and I would like to highly recommend that any of you that are going to be litigating in the federal court purchase this book. And I recently purchased it from Amazon. I got mine, including shipping, for $19. Although I think some of the cheapest ones have been snapped up. I wouldn't say you need the absolute newest edition to pay new money for it, but if you can find a 2011, 12, or 13 edition, it is absolutely, without question, a valuable item to have. We've talked about the NCLC books and about how worthwhile they are with all the case citations and everything in it. Well, this particular book, and again, it's O'Connor's Federal Rules Civil Trials. What it does is it covers all the different aspects of your case, all the way from writing your complaint through and after trial. And it covers all the different types of motions and arguments that you're going to find, everything from filing motions in limine to adding parties to this, to that, and the other thing. It covers a lot of stuff in discovery. But the beautiful thing about this is it tells you what arguments to make on both sides of the fence. If you are the party that is making a motion, bringing a motion to the court, and it also tells you how to deal with it on the other side if you are wanting to oppose it. And the kicker is that there's case law arguments that are cited here, just like in the NCLC books, to back up the arguments that you would make. So this is an incredibly valuable resource. And it covers everything from service and all the other various things, too. So I would very highly recommend that anybody that's going to be litigating in the federal court get a copy of this. You will find it invaluable. I already found stuff. I was helping Terry with some stuff that she's working on her situation with Midland, and I found some things relative to service, what constitutes service. She's had a problem with not getting things and found how to make the arguments and about saying, wait a minute, I didn't get it, because basically for service, when they serve you, when they put it in the mail, you are considered served. And we all know that the Postal Service isn't anything like it used to be reliability-wise. There's all sorts of mail that gets delayed, lost, ground up in equipment, or whatever. And the presumption is that if they mailed it, you got it. And you're stuck with it unless you know what to do. And there are arguments that you can make to break that presumption. That's all covered in here, and it even gives case citations to go along with your arguments. So that's the type of value that's in here. And that should be something that would be absolutely valuable to everybody. So, Jeff, have we had anybody come into the queue?
We don't have any questions, so at least that have popped up. So, Dion, if you're still there, just for grins, hit 1, and let's see if you come up in the queue.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that proper to be hitting 1, or was it 2 something? There's got to be people that want to ask questions on here. I cannot believe that there wouldn't be.
Yep, there he is.
Hey, did Dave, did we get Larry? Did you guys bring him on?
He's on, and he's unmuted.
Oh, okay. All right, didn't know you there.
Yeah,
Dion,
what I did is I put star 6 and then 1.
Star 6?
Yes, star 6, and then it prompts you to push 1.
Oh, there we go. We're lit up now.
Okay. Okay, so they got to hit star 6 and then 1, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, all right, so we're getting people in. That's what we want. We knew there had to be something that was missing there when we didn't have people with questions on a Tuesday night. We always have questions. So let's get going back to the Q&A so that we can get help to as many people as we can here. So, Jeff,
okay,
you're Mr. Board.
424, you're unmuted. I have no name to go with you.
That's all right. You can call me the man in Vegas.
Okay.
The man in Vegas. Good evening.
Yes, sir. Glad to get a hold of you guys. As a matter of fact, last week when I tried to get on Good News, you called my number 424, and then you said hit 1. When I hit 1, that took me out of the queue. Then you went on the question and answers. I never could get back in.
Huh.
All righty, then. Okay.
That's interesting.
Good news. I've been a member for a while. I've been backsliding quite a bit. And I haven't really had anything happen for me. And so a friend of mine had a credit pull on their credit report. So I said, okay, let's try this. And we basically put in notice to sue. And, you know, it surprised me, but they settled for $700. And it's like, wow, it works for you, and it's not working for me. So let me try something else here. So I went after a collection agency for several pulls and basically sending me dunning letters after I sent them a cease and desist letter. And I had some telephone calls on there, TCPA. And right now we're in conversation with them settling for about $5,000. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, collect that money.
Goodness.
Collect that money.
That's nice, man. $5,000.
Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Very good. Is that all you got?
How do I not? Well, that's all the good news. I do have some questions, but I'll wait for that. So how do I get back out of this thing?
Well, actually, if you're in, we're just doing a mix tonight. So if you've got a question, you might as well go ahead and bring your question up.
Okay. My question is, another friend of mine, he had a summons that was sent to him. And the collection agency, which happens to be ARCO is trying to collect a debt. And it was about $1,600, and he paid them about $1,200 over time. And when he called to inquire about what was going on, well, actually they raised his $150 a month to $300. And so that made him a little queasy, so he stopped paying them and got back a hold of the original creditor and started paying them. Well, now ARCO is sending him a summons to go to court. And so he sent off a cease and desist letter to ARCO to basically find out, hey, you know, what's going on. But I'm kind of, you know, at a loss as to what's the best procedure to go. He sent a validation letter to ARCO, who's taking him to court the 29th. And he's also checking back with the original creditor to get a balance of what he owes them, because they've been accepting payments from him. So totally, he's paid about $1,400 on a $1,600 note, and ARCO says he owes about $3,000.
So who owns this debt?
Republic Finance.
That's a debt buyer.
Republic Finance, I think it's like a title loan place, something like that.
How would they get a deal from ARCO?
ARCO got the
original creditor was who?
Republic Finance.
And he's been paying the original creditor, and they're accepting the payments.
Yeah.
Okay.
The debt collector is trying to collect more than is even owed.
Yeah.
Right. He had stopped paying the original creditor, and when ARCO got a hold of him, he started making payment arrangements with them and was paying them. But when after they raised the monthly amount, he contacted ARCO and said, "Hey, how much, you know, do I owe you guys?" And he found out that he owed, you know, almost twice of what it started out, and he had paid $1,200 in. So he contacted Republic, and they would not give him anything in writing, but they were accepting his payments, and they did reflect the payments on his credit report. So the original creditor is taking the money, and ARCO said, "Well, we're still going to take you to court and get a garnishment against you." They never sent him a Dunning letter.
Yeah. Well, this ARCO. Who is ARCO? I mean, what type of company are they?
Well,
I mean, the only ARCO I know is ARCO Oil Company.
Yeah.
That's right. It's ARCO Collections, from what he's telling me. And I kind of looked it up, and all I could find was something with BP Oil and all that stuff, too. But
ARCO Collections, full-service collection agency in Memphis, Tennessee.
Right, and he's in Memphis. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's, I got their website up right there. It's a full-service collection agency.
They called him twice on his cell phone. Latest call was like January the 2nd.
He didn't give him consent to call him on his cell, did he?
Of course not.
Okay.
No, of course not. No.
Okay. He needs to get his stuff together for a federal lawsuit and get it filed.
Okay, so the federal lawsuit would be on the TCPA. And,
well, you see where the you got to figure out where the violations are. Are you a member?
I'm a member.
You're a member. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you look at your FDCPA frequently violated guidelines.
Page 2.
Okay. Page
and figure,
2.
See where that
the
violations
where
you got that.
That you just outlined, they're all right there on page 2. You'll recognize it.
Yeah.
All righty.
And then, you know, the SummerSlam is where you're going to find how to put the lawsuit together.
And the TCPA, go through that too.
Yeah, the TCPA takedown.
Can I just make a comment?
Yeah, Jesse wants to comment here. Go ahead.
I just want to make a comment because I don't know what I missed. I had to step out of the truck. I just finally made it back to Orlando. I'm dropping off my friend here. But back to this ARCO thing. You have this ARCO, and you have this that's suing you, right? And not you, your friends. You have Republic, who's the original creditor who's accepted payments and reflects it. So that he's got proof on the credit report, and I'm sure he's got copies of cash checks or process payment or whatever. He's got proof of payment, right?
Correct.
So at this point, what I would do is I would probably sue both of them simultaneously.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, under FDCPA and then whatever state law you have, and maybe under FDUPTA, not the FDUPTA, but the Unfair Trade Deceptive in your state. You need to look that up, your friend. I don't know what state they live in, but
Tennessee.
Okay, Matt, I just left. But what's going on here is, what I think's going on is you have ARCO who's collecting fees, interest, and late fees that by law they're not allowed to collect, number one.
Exactly.
Okay, and then on top of that you have the original collector basically trying to steal money from ARCO. And they're collecting now on something that they probably don't have the right to collect on either.
Okay.
See, they sold the rights away or transferred the rights away, and the only way you're going to find this is through discovery. So by default, listen to what I'm going to tell you, because this is crazy. It's kind of confusing. If I am the original creditor and I tell it to Dave, and Dave is the debt collector who's collecting, and I take that back now, I accepted it while it was in default. By default, I am now a debt collector. I'm no longer the original creditor, but I am acting as a debt collector collecting on a defaulted debt. because it was mine, then I sold it away, and now I'm accepting payments on it again. So there's a lot of gray issue there that needs to be sorted through, and the only way it's going to happen is through discovery.
This okay, and he needs to stop paying everyone.
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. He needs to every damn body. Everybody.
No, you don't pay anybody. He better quit paying. Because he doesn't know who he's supposed to be paying, does he?
Yeah.
Right. That's
yeah,
right.
And obviously it's not getting credited correctly, and it's not solving the situation to fork over the bucks.
Yeah.
Right.
And what has to happen is I would suggest that your friend take a peek into the credit report and see if this ARCO bunch of gangsters is reporting negative information onto that credit. Because now...
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've looked at his credit. He sent that to me, and I didn't see that.
Okay. How new is that report?
Actually, it was within a few days ago, like yesterday or so.
Okay.
So,
okay, well, so then never mind that, but I would probably sue all of them, including the attorneys that are attempting to collect. So that's
right.
What Jesse would do if you want my 2 cents.
Oh, and that reminded me. Well, I looked at his summons, and the... ARCO was not even mentioned. They act like they were collecting for Republic. So they were actually collecting in the name of Republic, which doesn't make sense if he was paying Republic.
They can't collect in someone else's name.
Wow,
right.
Man. Yeah, there needs to be an immediate FDCPA suit against all these cronies.
There's violations galore here.
Yeah, and false, misleading. I mean, listen, it just goes great. I mean, those are the kind of things that I love. It makes my mouth
work. Page 2 is going to be Christmas for your friend.
Yeah. Now, you said you are a member.
Yes,
and
sir.
Your friend needs to, because he's going to be doing this, I assume. You can't do it for him.
No, I understand that. We have to basically hold his hand.
Yeah, okay. Now, he needs to be a member, too, and what you could do is share your membership with him. As long as you haven't used more than one computer, you can have 2 IP addresses. He could access it with 1 IP address, and you can access it with the other, so he can get in and study the material on the website and be learning about this.
Or if you have already used your other IP, he can come over to your place, and you can help him learn there.
Yeah, we're only about 1,000 miles apart.
Yeah, I was going to say, his friend's in Tennessee. He's in Vegas. That's why I'm saying the IP is something where he could utilize. He could share your membership.
Exactly.
And we encourage that. We don't tell people not to do that. We encourage it. The main thing is to get the information out to people.
How much was he already paying these scumbuckets?
He paid ARCO $1,200.
Yeah, per month, though.
Oh, $150,
right? He was paying 150, then they doubled it to 300.
Well, okay.
And where was the authorization in writing for that?
My
you know
point.
What, come to think of it, okay, I'm thinking that he said he was doing like an automatic payout of his check, and then they just started. They just doubled it.
Oh, you never ever do that.
Never, especially with a debt.
Ever. I'm telling everybody on this call, if you don't listen to another thing that you hear tonight. Listen to this. Do not ever, ever give anyone access to do automatic withdrawals from any of your bank accounts. That will be one of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make in your life.
Yep,
never,
been there, done
that.
Do
that.
Don't do it. But my point is, if your friend is paying well over $100 a month for nothing, it's getting flushed right down the toilet, it appears,
right.
Isn't it a lot better for him to use that money to get into the website and start to learn?
Oh, I've already, you know, I'm way ahead of you on that because it's $1,200 to ARCO and $450 to Republic.
Oh.
So he's already paid $1,650 on a $1,685 debt.
Well, they're gonna end up having to pay. If you do things right, you learn this and you do things right, they're gonna end up paying him a whole lot more than he ever paid them.
Okay. I have a question for you on the credit pulls. Other than I think it was Pinto versus
Pacific,
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had an attorney get back with me and said that really wasn't a good case to prove that a collector or a collection agency could not pull your credit. And the way
they traditionally use that case as their justification for pulling your credit. They interpret that case the opposite of what the actual ruling was. You follow me? That's the one that the debt collectors like to use in their defense, when in fact the finding was the opposite. But that is not a definitive case in favor of the consumer in so far as non-permissible pull.
Is there a case that could be quoted for that?
I don't have one.
Okay, that's.
I'm in appeals to try to make one.
Oh, gotcha. Well, what are you waiting on? Make it happen.
Oh, it's
for you to say.
It's fun in the appeals court. Trust me on this one. You are not ready for that yet.
No, that's what I said. You make it happen.
Yeah. Yep.
Brian.
Okay. Well, that take care of you on that stuff. I know we got a bunch of people in the queue, so we got to keep moving.
Thank you very much.
All right. You bet. Thank you. Okay, Jeff, who's next?
Hi. Area code 917.
Hi, I'm Maurice. Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello. Yeah, yes. We can hear you.
Hello, I'm Maurice.
We can hear
Hello?
You.
Hello. You can? Okay. I had sent in a debt validation letter.
Sent in
now,
to who? To who?
To Slamowitz.
Is it? Well, what happened? They sent you a Dunning letter? You gotta start so we understand what it is that's going on.
Well,
please.
The credit card was discovered. They gave the debt to Slamowitz.
Well, Slamowitz sent you a collection notice.
Yeah. We've been going back and forth a year already, and so I sent Slamowitz debt validation letters, and so I haven't heard anything from them since July. When they had asked for me to send a notice to produce an interrogatory, and so I sent a letter, basically just again about debt validation, and now January. So this is what 6 months later, I received a letter. And they're saying that they had sent me this. I never sent them any papers to prove.
Well, no, wait a minute. We're not understanding exactly what's going on here. You sent them, after you got a Dunning letter, you sent them a demand for validation, right?
Right. I was working with someone for the last year or two, and I'm no longer working with them. They can't help me anymore. So now I'm trying to,
Okay.
My up-to-dateness is about I sent a letter of validation of the debt.
Okay. Please let me ask you some questions so we can clarify what's happened. Have they sued you?
We've been going back and forth with letters.
Have they? Please answer my question so we can help you. Have they sued you, yes or no?
No, it's just going back and forth with letters at this point. They did give me a summons.
Well, then you've been sued.
What state are you in?
New York.
Okay.
You have to understand, when you get a summons, you've been sued. They filed a lawsuit against you. And the clue that I had that you had been done, because you mentioned they had sent you interrogatories last summer.
Yes.
That is part of discovery in a lawsuit. They send you questions, either admit this or deny this, give us interrogatory, send us this information, or a request for production to produce these documents and send us copies of these. That is part of the discovery process in the middle of a lawsuit.
Okay.
If you did not respond to those with the proper answers, you may have a big problem on your hands. You can't just write them a letter back. You are required by statute to answer those, or if they sent you admissions, like admit that you have this credit card, admit that you owe money, admit this, admit that. If you do not specifically deny those things in the proper form and serve it back to them within 30 days, those can be deemed admitted, just like you said, oh, yeah, I owe you money. I had the credit card. I didn't pay it. Yeah, I owe you $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not understanding the legal process. Whoever was trying to help you obviously was not a lot of help, evidently. But
mm-hmm.
So you got that discovery stuff last summer, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm assuming you really didn't answer it properly because you didn't know you were supposed to or didn't know how to or something. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the people that were helping me, one of them has since, I guess he ended up leaving the country, and the other person has other major issues that have come about. So.
Yeah, okay. The main thing is the help you were getting was probably far more detrimental to you than helpful. Unfortunately, as much as I hate to say that, but we have to be honest with people.
Yes.
So you didn't answer those things, and did they do anything, do a motion to compel discovery with the court? Or is that familiar terminology with anything that's happened?
No, I haven't. I didn't receive any letter until today.
Okay.
I received a letter today, which is stating that on July 11th, this offer served upon you a notice to produce an
interrogatories. Mm-hmm.
Interrogatories. To date, we have not received any response to either of the discovery demands or any communication from you concerning these discovery demands. This letter is our good faith pursuing 202.7 of the Uniform Civil Rules for the Supreme Court and the County Court to get to respond to these demands. In, on, or before February 6, 2014, we have not received a response to these demands, or you have not entered into agreement with us to respond to these demands by a certain date. We will assume that you received our demands but purposely have chosen not to respond, and we will seek the legal remedies available to us.
Right. Okay. You are very lucky.
Really.
You are incredibly
lucky.
Sure, I
have
no idea what I'm
lucky.
Doing. I don't understand anything. I don't know what to
I know.
Do.
Okay. If you'll listen to me, I will tell you the first thing again. You are incredibly lucky to have gotten that letter at this point in time, given your situation. You really are. Okay. What I think I would do, and if somebody, any of the other people on the call here would differ with me, to give yourself a little more time and make sure you have exactly what they have, I think I would probably write back to them and tell them, I did not receive what you may have sent me. Could you please send me copies of those documents?
Okay.
What that's going to do is it's going to put them in a position where they're going to send them to you again just in case you somehow misplaced them, lost them, or whatever else. But it's also going to give you a little bit of time. It's going to buy you a little bit of time because when that happens, then when they send them to you, that's probably going to be the date that they use to say, okay, we sent them to you. You have 30 days to answer them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I can't believe you are so lucky. You are so lucky.
Okay.
I can't believe they haven't just already gotten a judgment against you. Now,
okay.
Do you have, just between you, me, and the light post, do you have copies of what they sent you before?
Yes.
Somewhere,
I have,
maybe?
Yes, I've kept old correspondence.
Okay.
How did they send them to you?
They've been sending them, by mail.
Certified mail or just regular mail?
This letter was regular mail.
No, no, well, the other stuff. The other stuff before.
I'm trying to go through it now. I'm not really sure at the moment. I have to go through all my papers. I don't know on that, actually.
Okay. All right. Okay. And that's good you're being honest.
Well, I think I have another box I have to go through. I think this is
okay. What I would suggest is going back to what I was saying is I would write them back immediately. I'd get it in the mail tomorrow, and I'd tell them, I'm sorry, but I do not have anything like that that you may have sent me. Could you please send me copies of those documents again?
Okay.
And what that'll do is that'll, you know, it's going to take a little time for them to get your letter. It's going to take a little time for you to get it back. But that should start resetting the clock a little bit. You can, you know, you can argue to the court, well, hey, you know, I didn't get it before, and here it is. But you're going to have to get into the website and go through John's webinars on and the tutorials on dealing with discovery. Because you have to understand what you have to do to answer those to, so to speak, save your bacon. There's good ways and bad ways to answer those kind of things. And John has done an expert set of webinars that is specific to that that whole process as far as interrogatories, admissions, requests for production, and the like. The things that you want to be extremely careful of is if you were sent any admissions, request for admissions, because those they can hang you out to dry and nothing flat if you don't deal with those properly. I mean, they literally can get a judgment against you very quickly if you do not deal with them properly. So you might look in your paperwork and see if you're going to get those coming to you, and have an idea. But are you a member?
No.
Okay. I would suggest very strongly that you join the website, PDQ, and go into the that there it's in the taking your money section, is it not, John, for the discovery?
His webinar should be in the archives.
It's in the archives section there, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's right. It's going to be in the webinar archives section.
Okay, on discovery. All right, so what's the name of the website?
It's how did you find out about how did you get to the call here?
Well, like I said, my friends that were helping me that no longer can. So I was talking to her tonight about getting the letter, and she's like, listen, I just can't help you but get in on this phone call.
Yeah, I don't know. Jesse, how do you want to deal with that?
Why are we even holding back on
that? Yeah, we just used the name of the site, correct?
Yeah.
What Lies in Your Debt.
Okay.
.com.
So What Lies in Your Debt .com.
.com, isn't that the commercial?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I join, and then I have to go into the archives.
Yeah, you're going to go in. The first thing you want to do is look at the information about how to use the website. Please take the time to do that. But then you're going to want to look at the archives, the archived webinars, and go to the ones you look down the list, and you'll find there's a series of them on discovery.
Okay.
And you're going to want to get your documents out that you got, so you're looking at the stuff. So when you start looking at the webinars, kind of scan over them just a little bit before you start into the webinar, so you have a little bit of an idea what you're looking at. So it'll help you understand it.
And make yourself familiar with the forum in case you have questions you need to ask. Get familiar with the forum area of the website.
Yeah, there is a forum in there. And it's broken down by subject matter on various things, and you are going to be dealing with beating credit cards. You're going to be working in that section because you're being sued over a credit card, right? You said Discover,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Right.
In the beating credit card section, and so you can start learning about how to deal with these situations, and we don't have enough time tonight to get into more details. So there is a call tomorrow night where you'd be able to ask some more questions, and we'd have a little more time to discuss things with you. That's Terry's call. I'll be there. All of us will be there.
What time
Jessica.
Are the calls?
Yeah, I'll announce that all that information at the end of this call.
Thank you.
Okay. And those are some more resources, and then I have a call on Monday nights as well. And, of course, we pass that.
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I guess.
Monday, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, absolutely. There's help out here to help you. But, yeah, you are an incredibly lucky person, given what you told us.
I know. I can't believe it.
For them to have sent you that letter. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we might be able to help you pull this one out of the hat or at least make a heck of a darn good battle. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, just for your information, Dave, we've got 14 questions, people in the queue.
Okay. Well, and we're an hour and 20 minutes, but we have bobble time, so let's keep rock and rolling through our callers. Who's next?
Okay, area code 845.
Yep, that's me, John from Michigan, or for me, Eric, that was in Michigan, and now I'm in Florida. I had left a message. I talked, I think, on Wednesday, asked a question in regards to this is the Chase trying to foreclose now a year later after sending me a debt collection notice, almost a year to the date, which we did at QWR, and they responded and said, well, we can't provide you all that information, and so some things went back and forth, and they didn't provide it all to me, and then it was mum silence for about 6-7 months, and then they summons, but they only served my ex-wife. They did not service me, and so we submitted, I provided her information to allow her to submit within the 20 days a notice of dispute as well as a motion to enlarge time. And that's what she's done so far. And I think Jess may have answered some of the questions there, but I put in the forum was, how do I keep track now if they try and do something behind my back since I've not been served?
Well, wait a minute. You just said you did a motion for an enlargement of time.
That would be on my wife, right. My ex-wife's behalf. She did that. So
right.
Don't keep her informed, correct?
Correct. But all you got to do is look at the docket. The docket's going to show you if anything happens.
Okay. And how do I, when you say the docket, how do I get that?
So, whatever county
yep.
clerk of the court, put in the case number, last name, all that, and you look. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Case number and that kind of stuff.
Okay, just so keep tabs on it that way.
Yeah. Simple
okay.
that way.
All right.
Chances are pretty good that it will not allow you to look at the actual document itself, but just listed on the docket.
Yeah, you're not going to find the documents themselves, but you can see the progress.
Okay. Typically, I mean, I checked out the New York State ruling on stuff, and they said they're supposed to try and contact me for 120 days, and if they don't, they're supposed to throw it out. That's what it says.
Well, and that's what's going to happen. but it depends on who's on what. Who's on first and he's on third or whatever the heck that old thing is.
Well,
if your wife's on the note and you're not, well, then really they're going to go ahead and foreclose on her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're going to say we tried to serve the unknown spouse and didn't work.
Right. Okay. So, but since I am on the mortgage, where they foreclosed without serving me, is that not that an injury has happened, is it not?
Well, not on the mortgage, because there's no responsibility for you to pay if you're on the mortgage, only the note holder.
The note, sorry.
For the note.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, if you're on the note, they're going to have to serve you. There's just no way around it.
No, yeah, the house is in both our names. Yeah, I just happened to relocate.
No, listen to what I said. The house is always in both your names. That doesn't mean that you're both on the note.
The note, sorry. Both our names is on the note. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so I relocated from...
Technicalities cleared up because otherwise we can't answer correctly.
Absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
Good.
And I'm mixing terms there. So I'm good. All right. Hey, I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem, buddy.
All righty. Thank you much. Jeff, who we got up next?
Area code 702.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
I was wondering regarding FDCPA, does the statute of limitations start from the date you get the default or on a foreclosure or the last contact with the collection attorney?
It's a date. It depends. Some courts have said that it's the date of the last date that they could possibly violate, meaning when the case is over, because even after default, right, they could still violate if they try to get the judgment and then they try to collect on judgments or deficiencies and that. So there's still possibilities. Other courts have held that it's a year from the date of the infraction, period, end of story. They can't continue to violate, you follow, which is nonsense. So there's arguments for both on the website, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so just going to go for the FDCPA, filing a federal lawsuit regardless, if they're still trying to collect.
Yeah, because they're still in violation.
Yeah.
Every attempt to collect is a possible violation.
That's what I thought. Okay, I'm going to clarify that. And then the request for production, John has some information on that on the website, on how to protect yourself.
Well, request for production, yeah, that's a whole different webinar he has there on discovery and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's part of the discovery series.
Discovery, okay.
I don't know what you mean by protect yourself. That's kind of odd, but...
Oh, because they're just, like, grilling me to the ground with, you know, they want, like, almost 90 documents.
Well, if you don't have them, you don't have them. That's
right.
There's nothing to protect yourself. Unavailable. Done.
Yeah, so I thought...
There's no protection there.
Okay, that's right. I meant to know.
Can't produce something you don't have, can you?
No.
There
so.
You go.
Okay,
they can ask, but it doesn't mean they get it.
And you can check your local rules and see how many they're actually, or in your state rules, to see how many they're actually entitled to get. They might have asked for too many things under production, and you could object to the whole thing. So.
Because they did a motion to compel, and they keep extending my... You know, my attorney keeps extending the stipulation agreement without my permission. But, okay.
All right. That take care of you?
Yeah, thanks.
All righty. Thank you. Okay, Jeff, who's up next?
Area code 919.
Hey, Jesse. This is for Jesse about a foreclosure question.
He's even with us. How about that?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, in the past, you said in 05 I put my house into a trust, did a quick claim deed to a trust, and I'm the trustee. Why do you say you should not do that?
Because now the trust is a fiction that needs an attorney to hire or an attorney to defend it.
So since well, I'm in supposedly foreclosure with them, should I get it out of the trust and put it in something
else?
Yeah,
because as long as you put it back in your name, then you can go out and defend it.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Sure.
Who is the trustee?
Me.
Who is the beneficiary?
Pardon me?
Who is the beneficiary?
Me? Probably didn't say
that.
Yeah,
you don't have a trust.
It's an invalid trust anyway, so
invalid
it doesn't
trust.
Matter. Yeah,
that's
it doesn't
ownership.
Matter.
That's ownership. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you need to get rid of it. You need to get it out of the trust name or whatever it's in anyway.
And then put it in something else. Okay. And second question.
No. Listen clearly to what I said. I didn't say put it into something else. I said
put it into your name again. Okay. Okay, I'll put it back in my name.
I just clarity. Clarity, that's all.
Thank you. When should they send you the Dunning letter?
Whenever they want to.
So it doesn't matter when they send it to you.
It could be a day after you didn't pay. It could be a year after you haven't paid.
Okay, so it really doesn't matter.
It has to be sent within 5 days after the first contact.
First communication.
Okay. Since I threw away a lot of letters, I'm not real sure when that happened. Now I save them, but that doesn't help. But tomorrow, can I ask more questions on your webinar at 3 o'clock?
You absolutely can.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow.
All righty. Thank you. Okay, Jeff? He's our board monitor tonight.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
There you go, finally. 717.
Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good, I think.
Good. That's good. My question was to do with TCPA. My question basically was I had a motion for summary judgment denied. I filed a motion for reconsideration. That was denied by the judge. I filed a motion to take notice of newly discoverable evidence. They did grant that motion, and they are referring my case to the chief magistrate for settlement. So my question would be, since it was TCPA and the motion for summary judgment was based on them calling me with an automatic dialing system and prior express consent, and they denied that motion, and they adopted the magistrate's recommendations. Does that cancel out that count, or is that count still on the table as far as you know?
No, all it means is that you weren't granted summary judgment. They found that there were issues of material fact, right?
Right. Okay.
Well, you need to read the decision very carefully. What exactly did the magistrate say in that report and recommendation? How did he pick it apart?
Yeah, he said exactly.
Go ahead.
I was going to say he said exactly what you said. There were issues of material fact of whether the defendants had used a automatic dialing system.
Okay. Have you done discovery on the equipment that they used? Did you subpoena who, if they said that it was manually dialed, did you do deposition?
There's no way. I did request for admissions on them. Request for production of documents.
Listen to what Dave asked you.
Okay.
I know what you've done. He asked you if you've gotten them to admit, deny, or did you ask them for some kind of records or they produce records on whether they use auto dialers or not?
No. Their website actually had stated that they used auto dialers to make their calls.
That website can't testify. Did you get them to admit or deny these things? These are the simple questions that we need to get everybody to understand it. You can win these cases fairly simple by asking the right questions. And as a matter of fact, we're having a little head session tomorrow, Dave and John and myself, on these particular three or four questions. That's all we need. Because if you have a website, admit or deny, you know, Exhibit A, that this is the front page of your website, great. Admit or deny that you say right here that you use automated, you know, that's it. I mean, these are simple things, but people have to use their heads. You got to get them to step up and say, yeah, we use automated dialers. Once you do that, there's no way to deny it. And I was going to say, while I was listening to you talk, the reason the judge denied is probably because you didn't have anything as to whether they used auto dialers or not.
Right. Yeah. Did they deny that they used auto dialer?
Yes, they denied it.
Okay.
They made the cost.
Yeah. Now, the thing that you've got to focus it on is, you remember, we've got case law. It doesn't matter if they used ATDS equipment in a manual mode, because the case law says if they used equipment that has the capability, it's a violation. It doesn't matter whether it was used in that mode or not.
Right.
And that's the stuff you've got to pin down on asking your questions.
Exactly.
That's right. Now, listen, here's the other thing that everybody seems to forget. With the debt collector in particular, if you've had no prior established relationship, if you haven't given them permission to call, any of that, that's up and above the auto dial. I don't care how you call it, you don't have the right to call my cell phone.
Exactly.
So you have to also learn to plead these things correctly. So count one is, hey, they called, da-da-da-da. Count two is, they called again without permission, blah-blah-blah. Count three is, they use automated telephone. You know what I mean? So if you plead it correctly, you're covering all the bases. So the judge now is in the corner. Well, he pled that they didn't have permission. They pled that they used auto dialers. Now what do you do? Because the fact still remains. Here's the proof that they called my cell phone, right? Here's the copies of my cell phone, the picture, my records, whatever you have. They can't get out of that. So you would have had summary judgment on that alone. But the fact question remains that now whether they use auto dialers or not. That's
right.
That's where you put the judge in the corner with that.
Right.
You have to get them to admit that the equipment that they use has the capability, has ATDS capabilities.
Okay.
And then you've got the case law that says if they use equipment with the capabilities, they're done. It's a violation.
Okay.
So you don't have to pin them down to say, well, did you use ATDS equipment to call me? That's not the right question to ask. Did you use equipment that had the capabilities to call me? And have them answer, well, yeah, but we used it in a manual mode. They just hung themselves when they admit that they used equipment that was capable of it.
You're a tricky guy, Dave. pretty good.
Well, let them hang themselves. Give them all the rope they want.
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty slick, though. I like that, man.
I did, too. My other question, too, was on the motion for newly discoverable evidence. They granted that, and that motion was based on I found the actual contract that that was signed 4 years ago on the account. They were claiming that this account was from 2004 when my contract shows it was from 2009. So the court accepted that as newly discovered evidence.
Okay,
how does that
here,
benefit
minute,
you?
I
was just going to say, wait a minute. How does having that introduced as evidence benefit you as opposed to take away from your case?
Well, because they were claiming that they had prior express consent from 2004 to call, and the contract that I have shows that this contract was in 2009 and not 2004. So it's impossible.
Yeah, so all you're doing is proving them right on the express consent, but the date's wrong. Again, I ask you, how does that help you?
Oh, well, because I didn't tell y'all this part, but the contract was actually, I actually have a separate line on this account. The contract is under somebody else's name.
Oh, you got them dead to rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the other piece of the puzzle we didn't know.
That was kind of an important piece right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, it was actually the phone line was in somebody else's name, and I just have my own separate line on the phone. So,
oh, okay.
You know,
all right.
Showing
yep. They got their neck in the noose.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was saying. And the court granted that motion to newly discovered evidence.
All right. So that new evidence shows that.
Right. It shows that yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
So, yeah.
But you understand what we were talking about the proper way to nail them down on using the ATDS. It's just get them to admit, oh, yeah, well, we use ATDS equipment, but we called you in the manual mode.
Right.
They love to – see, they'll do that. They'll say, oh, well, you know, we did it in preview or manual mode, so we didn't use
doesn't
ATDS
count.
Mode. They've hung themselves because they admitted that they used the type of equipment that creates a violation.
Yeah, they were arguing that they were under the exemption, and I pointed out that by even claiming that you're under the exemption covers automated dialing systems and pre-recorded messages, so you've admitted using them.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Yeah. Well, does that cover your questions?
Yes. Yeah. That
okay.
Just about the settlement conference with the magistrate there. Y'all knew anything about that? The settlement conferences with the magistrate? Did they just ask you basically how much you will? Because I've already put different numbers out there for them, and they've shot them down. And I asked them for a counter offer, and they gave me something really, really low. And I said, well, we can't even discuss it if that's as low as
yeah.
If that's the numbers you're going to be giving me.
Well, as you know, settlement conference is just that. It's going back and forth, okay. You know, the judge is going to want to know what the basis of your suit is. You know, why do you think you're owed $28,000? And they're going to say, oh, well, he's only owed $5,000, and we offered him that. So, you know, he should be happy with it. You've got to be able to make your arguments. Now, did they give you any guidelines? And is there anything in your local rules as to what is required to be provided at a settlement conference? Like, do you need to send any information to the other side or to the court before the conference?
No. All it says in the local rules is that they have a lawyer conduct it, and that that somebody from their side with settlement authority must either attend the conference or be available telephonically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's
all right. Well, then you go make your arguments. You have any material to support your arguments when you do it.
Will do. I appreciate it, gentlemen, ladies. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. Dave, we still have an abundance of callers waiting in queue. Do we want to
reduce it
to one question?
No, let's try and everybody try and be concise as we can, and let's try and get as many people in as we can. Go ahead.
Okay, area code 872.
Hi, this is Marion in North Carolina again. How are you?
Good. How are you, Marion?
I'm great. Dave, I got a $17,500 check from that suit.
All right.
My
all
very
right.
first case.
Oh, your first case. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
Have you posted your redacted check in the success section of the forum yet?
Oh, I haven't. I need to do that.
Oh, you'll get that done tomorrow, won't you?
I will.
We like to see
yeah.
those things. So do all the
now
members.
Yeah. Now I have a question. Back a year ago, I think I talked to you guys about this before. I was behind when I first joined the site a year and a half ago. I was behind on my mortgage, but I knew money was coming to pay it off, so I was letting it go. And I was talking to Fannie Mae. I was talking to Wells. I was talking to everybody, telling them money's coming, money's coming. They all go, "Oh, that's great. We're writing it down." Anyway, in the scheme of things, I caught it all up the middle of February in 2013, but they still proceeded to go with their foreclosure mail and file all the documents, and I had to go through all a bunch of crap with that. But anyway, they're getting an FDCPA suit. But right now I'm looking at my title, and I'm all caught up and have been for a year, but I've still got all this crap on my title. And so I want to file a quiet title. I mean, I'm up to date, but there's no foreclosure. And I know, Jesse, you don't, haven't gotten into quiet title very much, but I'm wondering if you've got any kind of guidance for what I can do to get this robo-signed crap off of my title.
No, not yet. Can't go there. You cannot
yeah.
go there yet.
I
filed a quiet title already. I did a lot of research, but I'm a little bit apprehensive about going into state court because I feel comfortable in federal now. But state them a little easy.
Well, you're going to feel really uncomfortable when you try to do that in state and the judge laughs you out of court. You cannot
right.
do that yet. You don't have enough knowledge and footing
yeah.
on the subject, and I'm not about to start it on this call at 9:45 at night. So
right.
it's
just
something
saying,
that
I'm
I don't even recommend. We know our site, thank the good Lord, the 19th of this month, starts its fourth year, and I have yet to put anything on that site about quiet title.
I knew you felt that way about it. I was just wondering if...
I do, because
I mean,
it's got to be so ripe.
Yeah.
Listen, it's got to be so ripe that if you do it wrong just one time, it's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't want to get anybody
uh-huh.
in harm's way. And that's all it is. It's because I care about you guys. I don't want you to get in harm's way. I really don't. I want you to be successful just like you just got that 17 grand. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
trust me. You're doing what you're doing. The time will come.
Yeah, everything I've read says get an attorney, so I'm trying to figure out where to look.
Oops.
Well, of course, everything says get an attorney, but, you know, you just got 17 grand without one, so obviously
right.
you can do it.
Yeah, I got the securitization audit. I have all that information, you know, and so I've got a lot of data. I've got RoboSign data, but it's just...
No, that's okay. RoboSigners are not enough grounds for...
there was lots more, but yeah.
Yeah, but
like,
you know what I mean? To base a transfer title, our good old government already said that with our settlement. Remember, so all robo-signers were pardoned, and the banks were pardoned, you know. So just remember that, you know. It's government-backed thievery. So it's
right.
okay. So I said, don't do it yet. There's a lot of stuff going on.
What does that mean? Yes.
That there's a lot of stuff going on yet. When it's right, I'll tell you when it's right, and then I'll tell you how to do it.
Okay, got it.
I don't feel the timing is right yet on anybody's. I'm telling you, the courts aren't ready for that yet.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just not. Everything's still pushing towards the banks, and things are starting to turn. I think everybody on this call that keeps up with news can see that things are starting to happen. People are starting to get indicted. They are. I said it 3 years ago. Sometime they will eat each other. It is starting to happen.
And they're definitely taking big old chunks out of each other now.
That's right. The government's broke. The banks are broke. Everybody's broke. And everybody's starting to eat each other. Just let it happen.
Well, the only reason I went ahead and filed it was because in North Carolina, I don't know if it's true elsewhere, there's if something's been filed, once it's there for 1 year, it's considered you know, fine or whatever. So I went and filed it like the day before they had filed the assignment of mortgage, because it was actually sold to Fannie Mae in May of 09. I closed in March of 09. On their website it says May of 09. And I'm going along, and then MERS comes along in December of 2012 and assigns the mortgage to Wells Bank, Wells Fargo Bank. And MERS, wait a minute, MERS for the original lender did the assignment. So MERS, number one, the original lender didn't own the property then, so they didn't have the ability to assign it. So that's what I was trying to attack, was the fact that the assignment was filed when they didn't have the right to assign it. So maybe I'm
that's
wrong.
Called FDC, yeah, that's an FDCPA lawsuit. Not a quiet
one. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess it would be, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's false and deceptive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not cool.
Oh,
so,
well.
All right, we got to get moving. So I don't want to give a lecture on this stuff.
Yep.
Congratulations on your check. That's awesome. And don't forget, put a copy of that on there.
I will. Thank you.
All right, Judy. Enjoy it.
Okay, area code 360.
Yes, my name is Jan, and I have a couple questions. I have a Chapter 13 of bankruptcy, and when do you file adversarial proceedings, before your 341 creditors or after or what?
I have no clue because we don't specialize in foreclosure, or bankruptcy.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the BK.
Yeah, all we do is help you file. All we can do is help you file a BK to kill a sale of the property. But we
okay,
can't,
you don't
know
when to
we don't go into all that in-depth. No, you'd have to go to an attorney that specializes.
To an attorney, but anyway.
No, that's just tough.
I,
but there's
typically
there's
you would file it after
the
1, but I'm not sure if that's a requirement or just logical, because you don't know who's going to show up until people start filing claims and who to file an adversarial claim against or action.
That's good advice, Larry, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Good point you bring up.
The other question is, okay, what if, okay, well, the name is Ever Bank assigned the deed of trust to Ever Home Mortgage Servicing, which is a subsidiary of Ever Bank. And they assigned the deed of trust, and they assigned the note and everything to Ever Home Mortgage Servicing. Well, anyway, so Ever Home Mortgage Servicing went defunct, and lo and behold, when we called to Ever Bank or to Ever Home, Ever Bank answers and said, "Oh, Ever Home's no longer in existence. We are taking over." But there's no—they never sent a letter saying that they are taking over. I mean, going back, even though it's a subsidiary, never got any notification that it went back to Everbank, and there's nothing at the county record that says that it went back from Everhome to Everbank. And so now in bankruptcy, they're claiming, Everbank is claiming that Everhome is still the servicer, but they're defunct. And when we went to mediation just for like Washington, they have before pre-foreclosure mediation,
right,
before bankruptcy and stuff like that. When we went to mediation, Everhome was defunct, and Everbank shows up and said they were both the beneficiary
owner,
and
servicer,
and they can't be that. So now they're in bankruptcy court saying they're both are lying, saying that there's the servicer, but there's no servicer.
I don't know how we lost it on the other call, but here in the same situation as the other gentleman was with the two people trying to collect, okay? That's an FDCPA lawsuit.
One is defunct and reabsorbed by the subsidiary is defunct and reabsorbed by the...
There's no reabsorption. There's no absorption. Okay.
Okay.
There still has to be transfer of assets. It's two separate and distinct corporations.
Okay.
Okay. So there has to be some kind of transfer of assets over one way or another not only because your mortgage requires that notification and assignment, but it also because the federal law requires that.
Right.
And I don't know what the state law's requirement, like in Florida there's a requirement.
Same
so,
thing.
Yeah, what's happened, and again, anybody, Larry, Dave, anybody, if you see what I see is you have a perfectly good debt from the original creditor given to somebody else.
Right.
You go into default. This original creditor accepts it back now that original creditor is no longer the original creditor. He is now
That's
a debt
correct.
Collector.
That's right.
You see, he's waived that shield of original creditor. It's done. So I would go after him again under FDCPA, and, of course, that lawsuit will be part of the estate, right, of the 13 once you file
right.
that. You got to talk to the trustee and say, this is what's going on. I'm going to sue him. And he's, you know, go ahead. It's not a big deal, but just remember that you don't care if it's $1,000 or $5,000 in the state of Washington, whatever it is. That's not what you care about. That's not the ultimate goal. It's not the money. It's irrelevant.
Right.
The goal is to just wipe them off so they would be an unsecured creditor. They're going to have to file a proof of claim, and that's not going
right.
to be able or not going to be easy for them.
Okay.
Yeah, they haven't got anything to show. They got it back from the servicing arm of the company.
Right.
Yeah, there's
nothing
there.
Pumped.
Right. Does everybody agree what I'm saying? They've waived their shield.
Absolutely. I agree 1,000%.
Yeah, just like our other gentleman earlier.
So what I did for their proof of claim, to object to their proof of claim, is I said that the recital that they gave, well, you object to the document for its content, their proof of claim, because they filed a proof of claim, EverBank did, filed a proof of claim, but I said that we're objecting to the content of it, because obviously the content is not factual because they're not ever home.
Well, there's nothing to show where it went from ever home back to EverBank.
That
hasn't been documented in the public record, correct?
Yeah. Their claim is no stronger than me showing up on your bankruptcy and saying, I own your home.
Exactly.
Okay, so is the judge going
to
say...
Again, to me, that's instant lawsuit. I mean, like yesterday.
So is the judge going to say, oh, well, we're in federal court and state court doesn't matter, because if they don't, you know what I mean?
What do you mean state court? What's have state court have to do with me?
No, I mean, because you file at the county... the county records, you know, like assignment of deed of trust.
They still filed a federal, they still violated federal laws. It doesn't matter.
What,
you got the Health
law?
And Family Save Their Homes Act, you've got FDCPA, you got the Washington Consumer Act, you got all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
You have to, you have a non-party to anything. Here's the proof. There's the assignment. They've waived their rights. They've assigned this away. That's it. You don't need any more proof.
Okay. And
right, so now what's going to happen? Well, just follow it through. So now, to file a proof of claim, they're going to have to go make up something from some defunct corporation coming back to them. That ain't going to happen. But you got to hurry up and say, no, listen, they waived this away, and this company went defunct X date. That's it, done. I don't know who they are. And here's a federal lawsuit to prove that I'm going to show you that I don't know who they are.
Okay, that sounds great. And then, you guys start talking, and then I forget. Anything.
Tomorrow at 3:00, you can remember.
Yep.
We got to keep going. We're supposed to get $1.
Write down your questions tomorrow so you don't forget them.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, thank you.
Okay, area code 407.
Hey there, guys. How are you today?
Pretty good. And you?
I'm hanging in there. Question is for Jesse. The court reporter you recommended in the past, I believe, is Barbara Perry. Is that correct?
Yep. Sorry, I get a mouthful of Doritos. I'm trying to eat since I've been driving for 12 hours.
it's
Barbara Perry.
Barbara Perry, okay. And you're going to be on the call tomorrow?
Yeah, it's my call tomorrow, yes.
Okay, I have a number of questions regarding a hearing and a trial I have next week for foreclosure.
That's not what the webinar is about. So the webinar
is not
about
foreclosure?
Going out. Yeah, but it's about damages. So,
okay.
Yeah. So we'll hear your questions tomorrow. But
so I can still ask my question.
Absolutely. Come on in.
I'll do that.
We got screwed up today, so no worries. We got screwed up tonight, and it's just a technical deal. So we'll take care of some more stuff for you guys tomorrow that's foreclosure related. No problem at all.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. See you.
Okay, area code 612.
Good evening, Dave and everybody. It's Ray in Minnesota.
Hi, Ray.
I don't know if you remember from last week, my first go out at bat, I had a brand new cell phone with 6 calls from Portfolio Recovery. Sent them a notice.
They're relentless, man. I'm sorry.
Sent them a notice of intent to sue. And got a couple emails back from them, sent them back. Ultimately, some attorney emailed me offering me $100. I sent back and said, although it would actually amount to roughly $6,000, I would be willing to settle for $3,000. He came back today with what I consider a stupid lawyer moment, and I think this is just 2 sentences. If you will indulge me to read it, you might like it. And please understand, nowhere except in the draft suit did I mention automatic telephone dialing system. It has not been mentioned in any of the emails. So he took this out of the hat, okay? While the definition of an ATDS system is the subject of legal dispute, PRA denies that it uses an ATDS. I have attached 2 court decisions that favorably analyzed this argument when made by others. Furthermore, in this case, none of the calls were placed with a dialer. All calls were placed using click to dial, a manual method that is not covered by the TCPA. The cost to remove this matter to the multi-district litigation is low, but PRA offers $500 solely to avoid that cost. I thought you'd like that. Is that a stupid lawyer moment or what? It's nothing to do with what you'd call the system. It's the capability.
Thank you.
And
whether Thank you.
You have my
You've learned
consent.
Well. You've learned
you
well.
You never had my consent.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, she's got it where I said earlier to the other gentleman, I'm sorry, I'm choking. These people are just ridiculous. I'm telling you, my God. And for all you new listeners, you see how stupid what you're dealing with, these people are actually ignorant, okay? You can always fix ignorant. You can't fix stupid. Okay, remember that. That's easy, man. It's easy, right? So you're sitting in a position saying, I never talked about auto dialers. I don't care what you called for. You just didn't have a right to call me. End of story.
Right.
And he's coming back to Delta. So my response would probably be, pull your head out of your ass, excuse my French, but that's exactly really what I would say. Dave knows I would. John knows I would. Larry knows I would. And read my lawsuit, because I did not say anything about an automatic dialing system, number one. And number two, you can very clearly spell out that if I need to amend my complaint to reflect this, here is what it is, which is the capability and not the machine, who makes it, click, dial, whatever the hell he said. Here's what it is. But that's not the issue. The issue is you didn't have the right to call me. Your client didn't have the right to call me because I've never had anything to do with them. They have never given permission. I don't know who you are. Don't care. Pay me. I mean, it's simple.
Right.
You need to, you know, our members sometimes are too nice, and Dave is pretty stout. I've read some of his emails. Larry's pretty stout. No, I know I'm really stout. Terry's pretty stout. Our members sometimes aren't. They get pushed around because they're not stern and stout with you. You have to just hammer down on them. And
yeah,
this guy's a total idiot, an absolute moron. So, you know what happened is that 50 below zero last week got to him over there in Minnesota. That's what froze his brain.
No, I'm in Minnesota. This idiot's in North Carolina. It wasn't.
Oh, well, hell, he has no excuse other than stupidity.
Then I think maybe what he's doing all day has more to do with a still than a heater.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's down in the North Carolina coastal plains hanging out with the gators, the Spanish moss, and garfish.
Right.
There you go.
Well, thanks,
oh,
guys.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye.
Jeffrey, who's up next?
Area code 516.
Good evening.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little slow taking off.
How's everybody?
Doing
pretty good, I think.
Good, 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 great. A couple of things I just want to, well, a quick notation. I was kind of reviewing my letter to Aquin, because they said One West transferred to them, and they wrote back to me, and then they're referring things pertaining to my mortgage. So I went to the mortgage, and I'm looking at this thing, I'm reading it, and it says borrow transfer to lender of rights in the property. And then it proceeds to say I mortgage. He didn't say I mortgage. He says I mortgage. So is that of any significance?
Not that I see.
Well, shouldn't he say I mortgagee?
No, I don't think. I think it's irrelevant. They're going to get away. They'll get away with anything, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, see. Things like that are not a big issue, okay? Now, I'll give you an example of what could be a big issue, and I know it is a big issue. If you guys look at your mortgages very carefully, everybody on this call, take the time, look at your deed of trust, your mortgage, whatever. There's a grant clause that always should be in there.
Okay.
Okay? And what happened is there was a standard form of mortgage that they used all across this country from about 2003 all the way to about 07. And in about 20-25% of those, there is no grant clause whatsoever. And the title companies missed it, and the attorneys missed it. And therefore, there is no mortgage on that home. All there is an unsecured note. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. And we're working on that case. That's the stuff that I'm going to bring into 2014 for our members. And I'm going to show you cases of this. And it's something that's even escaped a lot of the attorneys. And we happened to, a friend of mine and I happened to come across this thing 2 months ago. And he's a computer geek. And he basically said, listen, this is a glitch in the program. Did his research and did his stuff. And he found out that about 20% of his mortgages, 25% have no grant clause whatsoever in them. So the mortgages sitting out there completely unsecured.
As you said, that's another factor, as you said. Because I used to do commercial mortgages, and it used to say the lender or its assigns. But here, there's none of these mortgages state that. It didn't say lender or its assigns.
As far as what? What are you referring to?
As far as, you know, as far as in reference to a mortgage in terms of assigning that right. Because here, from the perspective of these people are saying they are servicers, and the question in point is, well, who's the note holder? Because according to my note, I should be making my payment to my note holder.
Yeah, but the note holder has the right to assign that collection of that payment.
Well, that's the question right now. Who is the note holder? I need to know who gives you who. As far as I knew I had IndyMac, and from IndyMac, I don't know who's that note has been assigned to from IndyMac.
Yeah.
There's no evidence. Now they sent me the trust. I mean, there's a trust, but I don't see anything here in relationship with trust on my note.
Yeah, you have the right to ask. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been asking them. I've been asking them, look, I'm making my payment. I need to know whom you're making that payment to. You're the servicer, fine, because that is why now I'm making a request from One West to refund me all the money that I paid them, because then, therefore, you have not provided me proof that I made payment to you. Whom did you make my payment to? So if you can't prove to me whom you make my payment to, I need a refund. If you don't give my refund, then I'm going to take you to court.
Yeah, that's the right way. That's the right attitude, actually.
Yeah, because I need to know that
you don't need to. You're entitled to. No matter what need.
Right.
You have absolute entitlement to that information. So don't forget that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the assignment clause in your mortgage is Section 22.
Okay.
So read that one. That's the one you need to look at.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Excellent. All right, great. Thanks.
All right, Bam.
Okay, area code 617.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We sure can.
Okay. Jesse, this question is to you. This is Paul in Massachusetts. I remember, how you doing,
Paul?
I remember a while back you said that you have been receiving FedEx envelopes from a servicer that was trying to,
What they were doing is sending me two things were happening. One was sending me settlement offers, and the other was sending mortgage modification offers.
Yes. Okay. In my case, the last payment I made on my home, my original home, the one that I've been at, was about seven and a half years ago, and it was foreclosed December 7th of 2007. That was foreclosed, and I've been fighting them ever since, and then I ain't made a payment or anything. Now, all of a sudden, Bank of America, in the last 5 weeks, have sent me three modification envelopes and a bill saying that I don't have home insurance, I have to prove it, or they're going to bill me. So basically, my question was...
Okay, I just want to get one fact straight. The house was already foreclosed December 7th.
Yeah. 2007.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. It was foreclosed December 7th, 2007, and I've been fighting them in court. Actually, I have them in federal and state right now. So they sent me three packages to modify Bank of America and also insurance. Now, is that three separate FDCPA claims? Would you
it can
do
be.
Three separate? Excuse me, sir?
It can be. Paul, listen to me. It can be. Depends on how you prosecute it. But technically, no.
Okay.
Okay, because what's going to happen is you have a year to file, so if you file one,
right,
and they drag it out 11 months, you're not going to have time to file another one.
Right.
That makes sense?
So the lodge,
it's just
yes,
one.
It does.
Just pointed out as
I
one.
Understand. So that's one good FDCPA lawsuit.
Right.
Correct? Question
right.
Answered. Talk to you tomorrow.
That's it.
Yep. I'll call back.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Jeffrey. Area code
Hello?
Area code 206.
Is it 981 or 206?
Well,
if you were just unmuted, go ahead.
Hey, I got a question about arbitration hearing. You guys know anything about that?
Well, what's your question?
Oh, okay. I was scheduled an arbitration hearing for a credit card thing, and somehow I grouped on that, and the plaintiff sent it to arbitration, and then, according to the rule, that I have no choice. So it seemed to me that, that's the end of the game. But I don't know what are they going to ask me what I'm supposed to do.
Larry, don't you have some information regarding arbitration, how to deal with that?
Is this arbitration or mediation?
Arbitration. Arbitration hearing. So
okay. Is it affiliated with a court or is it a separate procedure?
They moved the case from the court to arbitration. So I guess it related to the court.
Do you know who's conducting the arbitration?
Yes, one of the lawyer, the local attorney. They sent me a notice, and in fact, they called me, and they asked me to do a pre-hearing statement, which is, basically to list whatever evidence or whatever that I want to bring in, or whatever whoever I want to call for testimonies or witnesses or so. But I'm not so sure what are they going to ask me or what is regular procedure. And
Basically,
okay. What company is in the arbitration?
Arbitration.
Is it American Arbitration Association or something else?
Yeah, American Arbitration, FAA.
You mean AAA?
Yeah. Is it AAA or FAA?
AAF, American Arbitration, whatever, something
forums,
like that.
Forums, yes.
Forum, that's
American
it, yeah.
American Arbitration Forums.
Okay.
Wait, right, when
is this
was
the actual
contract?
Arbitration, or is this like a pre-hearing?
They call it arbitration hearing.
Okay, so this is the actual arbitration. This is where the arbitrator is going to make a decision.
Yes,
is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you object to the arbitration?
I did, but the judge denied it, denied my motion for non-reason. Basically, first that he said, well, when I put in a motion to remove the case from the arbitration back to the court, and she said that she wasn't sure that I served the plaintiff correctly. So I fill out another motion for reconsideration, and I sent all the copy, all the return receipt, everything that I had served the plaintiff. And that proved that, you know, I served the plaintiff did not respond to my motion. But the court just denied it anyway. He said, okay, you go to arbitration. He denied my motion.
Okay, what kind of a case is this?
It's a credit card.
Hey. When was the contract signed for the credit card?
I can't do this all night.
Okay, the contract, I had the account with them since 1996.
Oh, my. Oh man, that's back when the scam stuff was going on.
Huh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like ancient, man. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Talking back on the phone.
Jeff?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
And Jetty called. She wanted to ask you about it. Yeah. Call you back there.
Jeff, be
Jeff.
Quiet.
Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. Is Jeff there?
Yeah, Jeff's having a side conversation and forgot to mute his microphone.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, how much are they suing you for?
19 rand.
Okay, here's the reality, unfortunately. There's about a 98% chance that they're going to win because that's just how arbitration is set up. So you seriously need to think about either moving to but you're saying you filed a motion that the court didn't rule on or just ruled on without them even responding to it?
They ruled against me.
Yeah, but the other side didn't respond to your motion?
Yeah, the other side didn't respond to my motion.
But yet the
How
court
long
denied
ago did the court
it.
Rule on that motion?
Jeez.
What?
How long ago did the court rule on that motion?
About 2 weeks. Probably about a month. I think about a month, yeah.
It's 30 days, more or less?
Less than 30 days.
I would file an appeal tomorrow before that hearing.
Oh, really?
Or at least a motion
yeah.
for rehearing. Yeah, I wouldn't go into that arbitration without some sort of protection.
Well,
so
I wonder if they have the original contract that would even allow them to do an arbitration.
Right. Did you deny that there's a contract requiring arbitration in your motion?
Yes, I deny that. There's no contract. There's no agreement. But what they did is they sent me a copy of somebody else's contract, somebody else's agreement that they 2010.
No, that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's
this
not
whole
yours.
Thing is a joke. The court just completely screwed up and basically set you up to lose.
Right.
I would... Motion for reconsideration.
Again?
Appeal.
Probably. No, an appeal. You can't do a reconsideration. Appeal. You already did reconsideration.
Yeah, I already did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do an appeal.
So
that
what
will stop that arbitration, too.
Yeah, that arbitration would be stopped pending the outcome of the appeal.
Yeah,
should
number
be.
One. So hurry up and file a notice of appeal. Get it in there. That's easy enough. All you got to do is file a notice of appeal.
Yeah,
but
I don't have it in front of me, but there was some real good stuff in the NCLC books about how the arbitration stuff was they were just defeating it because it was determined that it was so one-sided. I can't remember the exact terminology, but it was it basically got to the point where it almost wasn't enforceable, and especially in the old contracts like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
What I would
I mean, 5-6 years ago, I defeated an arbitration. They'd actually gotten the award, and I pointed out that there was actually no arbitration hearing, and the judge bought that argument. And then when the other side came back and said, well, we'll just proceed to trial then, I said, well, you can't because you've already said that arbitration is required. So they were caught in a catch-22, and there was no way they could get out of it. So they dismissed the case. But, you know, unfortunately, you don't have a good judge handling this situation.
I know. I think I pissed her off.
Yeah, I think you do well to do an appeal on that. I mean, yeah, the other side doesn't respond to it, but yet the court denies it. That's nonsense.
Yeah, and then they show up with a 2010 account that's not even his?
Yeah, a 2010
let
agreement.
Let me ask you something. Are these guys your original creditors?
No, they're a debt collector.
Oh,
man, you're obviously not a member. Impossible that you're a member.
You haven't filed a federal lawsuit yet.
I know. I should have checked your advice a while ago, but I'm so busy with all the stuff.
That's okay. Your $49 is going to cost you $19,000. So that's okay. It's your fault. I have no pity on you. None.
It's my fault. Yeah, I understand.
I don't, because you could have killed this immediately. They're using fake contracts, and you should be suing them and having them in court and having them in discovery. No way, man. I have no mercy for you. This is what happened. You don't join. You don't pay $49. It costs you $20,000. It's your choice. You know? It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I know.
You should have hammered down and cut their heads off.
Actually, I already typed in all the federal lawsuit, but I'm getting ready to go file the paper. But I'm debating between the federal court because it cost $300 something.
$400 to file now.
$450 or something, and the other one only cost $40-$50. So.
Well, the other one ain't going to do any good, but the federal will, if you do it right. But you need to become a member and get in there and study and learn.
Yeah, there's actually an advantage of filing in state court because they're almost certain to remove it to federal court. And first of all, you pay much less of a fee, and then they have to pay the fee in federal court. But if they don't do that, then you may want to dismiss the case and refile it, assuming you don't have any statute of limitations issues. But, I mean, we're getting all kinds of information that you really need to study because – you know, you're under the gun right now.
Yes, I know. So go ahead and file the federal court and then file the appeal on the decision of the court then, the local court.
Okay,
and
but make sure.
We can deal quick.
Yeah, check your timeline. You know, I think, is it everywhere 30 days to file an appeal? Probably, but make sure that you're still within the timeline to file an appeal on that order.
Yeah, I think there are some jurisdictions where it's less than 30 days, so you definitely need to check your rules. And I'd be all over that tomorrow morning or tonight even.
Yeah,
so
now,
you know
if
what
it is too late to file an appeal on that particular order, keep in mind, once they get the arbitration, they're going to have to come back and have it confirmed by the court. So at that point, that gives you possibly another opportunity to file an appeal.
Can you say that again?
But If they get an arbitration, they're going to have to come back to the court to get the court to confirm that arbitration award.
I see.
Otherwise, it's useless. At that point, whatever the court says, then you can file an appeal, you know, then. But you got to start working that federal lawsuit and get that filed, or state, whatever you want to do it tactically.
Yeah, I would do it tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
You say something about 98% that I'm going to lose in arbitration. What do you mean by that?
Even it's very likely that you're going to lose in the arbitration. They'll rule against you. That's what Jesse said. You pretty much put yourself in a position by not filing the federal lawsuit and doing this stuff before that you're probably going to lose if you go to arbitration on it.
$49 costs you $20,000.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Literally, it's simple as that. Black and white.
Yep. Okay, well, we need to you got your our suggestions on what to do.
Actually, for me. Listen, it's 10:30 for me. Right?
Yep.
Here.
Okay.
I've been on the road 12 hours today.
Thank you very much,
guys. You're welcome. We've got to get on the ball on it, man. Get that notice tomorrow. What I'm going to do, Dave, is I'm going to jump out. Anybody who has foreclosure questions, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I'm all yours, 110%. But it's 10:30. We've been going at least 2 hours since the transfer. I'm beat to death, man. So,
I've got 21 after. How about we just run this to the bottom of the hour and call it there?
So 9 minutes, that's fine.
Yep.
But
okay,
anybody
Jeff?
Who has foreclosure questions is not going to be able to get to them tomorrow at 3 o'clock, okay?
Yes. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
I just joined 2 weeks ago. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, great. Thank you. I just joined 2 weeks ago, and I have I found the motion for enlargement of time that I got to send it to the court. Because I've been served with a credit card, Capital One. Now, my question is, should I file the motion for enlargement of time plus asking for the debt validation letter to the court and also give it to the court the notice of dispute?
Goes together. Yeah, you can put it all together. You can do a notice of dispute. Right, to go to the court and to the other side, right? You got to send it out to the attorney.
Right.
And then you do your motion for enlargement of time, put that in the court. Copy, of course, goes to the attorney with certificate of services on both. Then you can also send out Capital One. You can send them a debt validation letter, and that's not a problem. So now you got them coming and going there. It doesn't matter. You don't need to, but you can. Not going to hurt nothing. And at the same time, we're going to get into this year, a lot of times when you do that motion for enlargement of time, and you do your notice of disputes, you can file simple discovery questions in there and request for production. See, discovery can start at any time. So just because you haven't answered or you haven't done some kind of dispositive motion to get rid of the thing, you can still start asking for them to start producing stuff for everybody. So we'll get into all that this coming year.
Should I put in the motion for enlargement of time, or should I put it separate?
No, you got to do them separately.
Okay.
A motion of enlargement of time is a standalone motion. A notice of dispute is a standalone notice. Two complete different things. One's a notice, one's a motion. You don't do them together.
You just go and file them at the same time.
Okay.
Right.
The other thing is at the bottom of the motion for enlargement of time, it says certificate of services.
Yeah, you got to file a certificate of service with both the notice of dispute and that.
Right, and who is the one who's doing it? Got to be a notary or myself?
No,
yourself. Yeah.
That's just a statement that you're saying that you sent a copy to the below listed parties, and you put the lawyer's name and the law firm and their address and stuff like that. You're just telling the court that yes, I sent a copy to these people. That's all that certificate of service is. Okay.
Okay, because. Capital One lawyers, at the beginning, they were the ones who were trying to collect the debt. But when I asked them for a bunch of documents, they didn't respond to me, so then they sent me the lawsuit right away after, like 2 months later. So that is, I have to send a motion of enlargement of time in 35 days, which tomorrow is the 33 days, so then... Just now I found those documents and I wasn't sure if I should file them in the court together or separate, because I'm going to file, like you just told me, file all those three documents.
You get those done tomorrow morning.
Yes. I will do this tomorrow morning and also make a bunch of copies, send one to the lawyers. But Capital One, I don't have the address all what I have is the lawyer.
You don't need to send it to Capital One. You just that you can send a validation letter to them. You get those two done for sure, and send the copies of each one of those with a certificate of service for each one of those to the lawyer that signed that lawsuit.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Jeff, we got about 5 minutes.
Dion.
Okay, I don't want to waste up my 5 minutes. Okay. Thank you,
Dave.
Who
said you got 5 minutes? Just talk to us.
Okay. On the... I'm sorry. On the Homeowners Association, they sent me the letter in regards to the notice of default to foreclose on the property. And I sent them the dispute letter. And when they attempt to continue with the foreclosure, how should I respond?
I have no idea what you said. Am I like the only one who has no clue of what you just said?
Yeah, I'm trying to go fast. Okay, there was a homeowners association who a lawyer put in a notice of. They said they have a judgment against me, and I didn't find out about the judgment until October of last year. I found out October of last year, and I sent validation letters to them, and I also sent them court appeals, a dispute letter. Now, with them, they sent me, after the validation letters of us going back and forth, which I have some FDCPA violations against them on that, because they said they had it in 2009, in which I received nothing from them. And now the attorney firm sent the notice of default judgment while they're attempting to foreclose on my property for now $7,000. And I guess my question is now, I don't want it to get that far. If I want to pay it off, I'm still going to sue them in federal court, mind you.
Yeah,
but
one has nothing to do with the other. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So if I pay her, would that be, you know, if I pay the law firm, would that be agreeing to what they were saying?
No. You're asking a very technical question, and there's without seeing what the demand is, right? Remember, if you owe me $10 and I break your legs, you put me in jail. When I get out of jail, I still have the right to go collect my $10. Okay? So if you owe them the money but they violated in an attempt to collect it, they violated it, you still owe them the money. So by paying them, that doesn't do anything in the negative for you, right? It doesn't reflect anything bad. There's no admission of anything there. All that saying, all you're doing by that is saying this: I owed you X amount of money. Here's your money. Now I'm going to go hammer you because you violated in collecting it. Does that make sense or no?
Absolutely, because it's not about the debt.
That's right.
That's fundamentals, 101. What lies in your debt, 101. I got that. Okay. That's my question.
All righty. Well, that's going to do a wrap-up for tonight, everybody. We're going to send Jesse off to bed. I'm going to do a quick announcement here on the calls, the call lineup. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern is the webinar. That is for members only. If you're not a member and you want in on that, get signed up tonight or tomorrow morning so that you're able to get on the webinar with Jesse. It's going to be dealing with foreclosure issues. And then, of course, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, is Terry's call. That is on the number that you are on right now. You are in the, you just come back to this exact same place where we are tonight. And if you're not on her mailing list for some reason, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Simply say, I'd like to be on the list. And she will get you on there. Don't wait till the last second, though. If you haven't done it, do it tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow morning, please. Then, of course, starting the week, we have Dallas Debt Discussion. That's Monday nights. That still is on TalkShoe.com. The PIN is 54318. That starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. Last night we had a long call. We went over 4 hours. We had a lot of people asking questions and everything. So, you know, we kind of try and stick around and help as many people as we can. So we got calls Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. But, again, as I've said so many times, these are not a substitute for being a member. This helps you put the pieces of the puzzle together. The pieces are in the website. Get in there. Get going with your membership if you need to. If the money is a tough issue, you can share the two IPs of a membership with two people. So the main thing is get in there and learn and let us help you put the pieces together here in the calls. Thanks for joining us tonight. Sorry for the glitches in the beginning. That'll be all resolved for next week. And next week we will see you back again on this call on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.